whereby Brody and his father are going to come to listen to my show. Please help us.
We'll help each other.
Amen.
Help each other. We connect ourselves with learning together to all the true tzaddikim. In this generation, in tradition, tzaddikim of former generations, particularly, are light of our eyes, spiritual leaders, Rabbi Nachman Ben Fagi. May his memory be a credit to us. And have to know that everything that comes out of my mouth, it's not mine. I get it from me, just like the moon. Reflect the light of our beloved teacher, Rav Shalom Ben Yamna Shlita. Okay, let's say a few words to be machazek ourselves. This week is Shabbos Mevorchim, and it's Erev Rosh Chodesh. Also, Chodesh next day, Adar. So we're right there on Purim. And Purim requires a lot of preparation, because Purim, Yom Kippurim, it's tantamount to the Day of Atonement. The things we do on Purim atone for us an entire year. The Torah and Parshas Shemini, two psukim after Nadav and Avihu, they get killed. Nadav and Avihu get killed because they go in to the Holy of Holies, and according to the one opinion that they were intoxicated, there's another opinion that they criticized their father and their uncle. Moshe, there's several different, but the main view that Rashi takes is that they were intoxicated. Okay. And then the Torah tells us, Lehavdil bein ha-kodesh v'amechulelet, that we have to differentiate between sacred and the profane. And we see something great, sacred, profane. Wait a second, why sacred or profane? We have a Torah, Tuma and Tahara. We have purity, and we have ritual impurity. And what's this? Not it? No compromise, no middle of the ground, no middle of the road. The Torah says not in divine service. In divine service, either something is tohol, it's ritually pure, or it's tome. There's no such thing as 50% tome, or 50% tohor. You either get a zero on the exam, or you get 100 on the exam. That's the way it is in divine service. Even though there are many, many levels of divine service, that for a person on a lower level, that could say something that could be very sacred, that person on a higher level, it's not so sacred. It's not so sacred. For example, let's say that a person decides, today, I'm going to begin to guard my eyes. He's finally read, he read the Garden of Peace, he hears Rav Shalom's CDs, and he says, by the time the token fell on his brain, and he gets connected, I'm going to start guarding my eyes. Okay, so the first day the guy guards his eyes, so rather than looking at 100 things he shouldn't look at, 5 times he succeeded in guarding his eyes, and he only looked at 95 things. Okay? This person is going to get Gan Eden on his level for not looking for 5 times. Many people, the HS says, you're finished. 95 times you opened your eyes. You're not worth anything. Wait a second. How long have you been guarding your eyes? I just started today. You just started today? You know what the Zohar says when a person closes his eyes? The Zohar says that tens and tens of thousands of archangels that come and they sing to Hashem, Mikamcha Yisrael, Yankel and Yushalayim started guarding his eyes today. And there was this woman walking, very attractive, and he didn't look at her. He said, why? Because he know the lo tatul. It says, the Rav Shalom says, I'm not supposed to open my eyes. Oh, and listen to his Rav. Not only did he guard his eyes, but he gets credit for listening to his Rav. Right. So it's not like the NFL, where you're the last team in the league because you have only 5 wins and 95 losses. And today, that's Azamra. Rabbeinu comes and says you have 5 victories. So don't be down on yourself. But that's why Rav Shalom teaches us all the time that the worst evil inclination in this generation is not what people think it is. With the Gilui Eyes, the other sect. The worst evil inclination in this generation is self-persecution. Because people have to look at your good points. Look at your good points. You put on tefillah today. You went to the mikveh today. How many Jews went to mikveh? Okay, you guard your eyes 5 times? Okay, you fell down. Now, the same thing, a guy, this is first Shabbat. He keeps his first Shabbat. Now the poor guy has a problem, Nebuch. He smokes cigarettes. Again, supposed to smoke cigarettes, that's a transgression of Torah. V'nishmalta l'nafshekachem. Poor guy smokes cigarettes. Okay, he didn't know, but now he found it. He's not supposed to smoke cigarettes on Shabbat. How can a person get Gan Eden for smoking one cigarette? You ever thought of that? Okay, it's his first Shabbat as a Baal Teshuva, and he usually smokes 40 cigarettes on Shabbat. He drinks beer on Shabbat, smokes 40 cigarettes. But 39 times, it's Shabbat, Hashem doesn't want me to smoke 39 times. One time, after he finished his chut, he just couldn't resist. That was a nice big Shabbat meal. One time, and then he took two puffs and he almost threw up because he knew it was in there. Right. The guy's going to get Gan Eden on his spiritual level for just one cigarette. But somebody else on a different level is going to get Gehenna. Okay? If someone else is already inside, he, heaven forbid, lights a match, you don't even have to come to the cigarette just from lighting the match. Or from opening his eyes two times. It depends on the level. And that's Bashel Husham. We see when Hashem saves little Yishmael, 9-year-old crying, and Hashem opens up Hagar's eyes, and she sees the well, and the angel says, Hashem, what are you saving it from? You know how many Jews he's going to grow up to kill? He and his offspring. Right? Torah says, Bashel Husham. That's a law in the Torah where this guy is holding on his spiritual level. No one expects us, and this is the big Yetzirah, no one expects us to be Rabbi Nachman, no one expects us to be Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom did not become Rav Shalom overnight. Rav Shalom has been working on guarding his eyes for close to 50 years. No, not that, close to 40 years. Close to 40 years. Okay. So we work like Rav Shalom does, and we pray like Rav Shalom does. He did. Rav Shalom says anyone can reach my level. Certainly, if you do it, invest what he does. All right, but what's the message here on Purim? And what's the message between the sacred and the profane? That a person could do one thing. We have 613 limbs in the body. Could do one thing, and if one side is sacred, and one side is profane. Some people say, wait a second, you know, Rabbeinu doesn't want us drinking intoxicating beverages, neither does the Torah. Why is the Kohen not allowed to drink intoxicating beverages? And you have to understand, first, there's different shitas within Rabbeinu. You know, don't look down. And you see, there's some breast of our Hasidim that they'll drink wine on Shabbat, and that's perfectly okay. Some people, they're only on Purim and only on Pesach. Okay, only on Purim and Pesach. But there's the different things. It depends not what they do, it's what their intent is, if it's for a mitzvah. Some people could take 80 cc's of wine, 80 cc's of wine because it's got more polyphenols, three times more polyphenols than pomegranate juice, and they drink it. Rav Shalom brings it in Hashem Rofecha. It's not yet in English, but we hope soon. Okay, it's fantastic for the heart. Okay, so if a person says, wait a second, he doesn't like pomegranate juice, and he takes a little bit of red wine, but so he'll have it for his good blood pressure. It depends what his orientation is. But if it's to get high, no. The Kohanim are not allowed to take intoxicating beverages, because what is the avodah, what's prayer called? Avodah shebelev, service of the heart. Hashem wants the service in the temple to be service of the heart. Real, and Hashem wants them to serve with joy. The Zohar tells us that joy is synonymous to holiness. Not only is joy synonymous to holiness, joy is the barometer of holiness. If a guy walks around and says, if a guy is really holy, okay, if a guy is really has personal holiness, then he's got a smile like Rav Shalom. You see Rav Shalom's smile, this is a better indication. You see the deep smile that comes from within, it's not a plastic smile. It's not a toothpaste commercial smile. It's the deep smile that comes with me. That's the indication of personal holiness. And Hashem doesn't want, why the Kohanim there forbidden? And Hashem tells this to Aaron right after he loses two sons. He says, look, it's worth losing two sons to learn this lesson. That I don't want, Hashem says, I don't want anything that's called divine service that's from external substances. Last time I was in New York, some guy comes up to me and he says, hey, Rabbi, how come you and your Rav Rav Shalom, you write so much against marijuana and all this? Rav Shalom says, anybody that learns Gemara with a joint, it goes directly to the Sitra Achra, directly to the dark side. Why? Because it's external. People think that they smoke cigarettes to calm themselves. It's the exact opposite. It constrains the blood vessels. It chokes a person. It ruins the heart. Gets all that tar, and they get even more nervous. A person who smokes is actually more nervous. He's not calm. It's the exact opposite. And the Torah, what do we say? Eitz Chaim. We put the Torah back in the ark. It's a tree of life. Those who cling to it, the Torah gives life in this world, the next world. Is it possible to think that you can attain life in this world, the next world, by using a substance that kills your life? It's ridiculous. But just stop and think how the Yetzer Hara is the biggest arch liar in the world. How he swindles people and turns their brain around. They say, the guy says, oh, man, and this is what we're talking about. I was in Muncie. Muncie is a place that completely, the whole town is Orthodox. And they have guys there that they learn, and they learn with joints, heaven forbid, a million times heaven forbid. I can't think, look what the Yetzer brings these guys to, far from the truth. Far from the truth. So what do we learn here from Purim? What do we learn here from Purim? We're supposed to drink Adeloya Da until a person cannot differentiate between Haman and Mordechai. Does that mean being intoxicated, being inebriated? Uh-uh. If you have Purim with the tzaddik, Rav Shalom looks at everyone, and Rav Shalom says, you drink one glass only. You drink two glasses. He pours everyone, he knows what everyone can do. Doesn't mean to be inebriated. It means to take that particular substance, the one time in the year when Klipat the Malik, when the spiritual unholy husk of a Malik usually controls drinking. That's why we don't drink. Okay, so if anyone that wants to drink, it has to be absolute in the context of mitzvah. We have a context of mitzvah. Brit Milah, Boi Priya Geffen. Masada Kiddushin, Boi Priya Geffen. Shabbos, we say at Kiddush, Boi Priya Geffen. And this offsets a Malik. But you have to do it with emunah, with the belief I'm doing Hashem's will, not by doing my body's will. Because if you take hagefen in gematria, okay, who's quick in math? Hagefen, 138, right? And take emunah, 102, right? What do you get, 240? That's a malik. It offsets. If you take hagefen, and you have absolute emunah with it, then you get a malik. Then you can kill a malik. Okay? But if you have a geffen without the emunah, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So usually all year long, the geffen is a malik. But we drink because of emunat chachamim, the Gemara in Megillah says, Abdelo yada. And we drink, we're fortunate enough to celebrate Purim with our Rav, or with a Gol B'Yisrael, and he tells you how much to drink. Not what your body wants, he tells you, for your ruchnias. Okay? And then what's happened, it's amazing, what the Zohar in Parshas Nosa tells us, that why did King David compare the Jewish woman like a grapevine? Eshtecha kegefen b'yalk tebitecha. Puya kegefen. That your wife is fruitful. She's fruitful. Not, fruitful is not the right word. She's fertile like the grapevine. What's special about the grapevine? Different than anything else? If you take deciduous orchards and you take a peach, peach family is peach, plum, almond. You could take an almond stock and graft a peach branch on an almond and it'll grow. Okay, you could take, in the citrus family, you could take a lemon. Lemon is very strong. What if they take a lemon root or a sour orange root? The fruit of sour orange is not worth anything, but it's strong root. And they graft on it a grapefruit or a tangerine, which it doesn't cover a strong root, but it gives good fruit. And that's how they do grafting. Not with geffen. Uh-uh. A geffen will not accept a graft of anything else other than a geffen. A grapevine, you can't graft anything onto a grapevine but another grapevine. a grapevine only thinks, and the Zohar tells us, by the same token, the Jewish woman not only clings to her own type, but she clings to her own mate. And that's why Am Yisrael is also compared to a dove in Shir HaShirim. To a dove, to a pigeon. A dove not only clings to its mate, a dove is born together with its mate. A dove, every dove mother, in Yiddish called a toibelet, in Hebrew a tur, she gives birth to two eggs. She has two eggs. One is a male, one is a female. They grow up, they are a couple. If one dies, then the other one very shortly dies. They cling to their own. This is the beauty of Am Yisrael. If you look at Am Yisrael, they say, you know, went down to Egypt, and for 210 years in Egypt, and there was only one case of adultery with 600,000 people, 210 years. And the Torah makes a big deal of Shlomo bat Divri and a whole thing, and it's publicized all over Torah because it's the only time in 210 years. And this was by accident, that the Egyptian came in at night, she thought it was her husband. Even by accident, the Torah says it was her fault because she used to talk too much. She needed, with her modesty, alavai that every woman today should be as modest as she was then. Okay. But she was considered immodest, and that way she got caught up with this Egyptian guy. This is the only case, only foul up of 210 years, the entire Jewish people. That's the praise of the Jewish people. Why? So what do we learn in Purim? We just like we have, Hashem gave us appendages. We have an appendage that is the epitome of holiness, the two mitzvahs connected with it, procreation of the race, and marital gratification, mitzvahs oina. But if it's not exactly in holiness, and that's why Fried or Schultz says we're working on this now, the Garden of Purity, which is Briti Shalom. Okay, people think that they're allowed, they can allow themselves lust at home. There's no bigger lie. Imagine you'd allow yourself to say, okay, I'm in my home, so I'm going to take five bottles of wine, and I'm going to get drunk as a skunk, because this is a lust, because I'm at home, it's okay. I'm not bothering anybody, I'm not driving, I'm doing anything. Who would think of something? It's ridiculous. By the same token, lust in marriage. Who permitted lust in marriage? Just because you're married? No, it's holiness. Like everything we've done in holiness. That's the lesson of Purim. Lesson of Purim, we take something that is usually vulgar, intoxicating, and we elevate it in a mitzvah. Why? Because our sages tell us to do it. It's part of the mitzvah of Purim. The Farish of Gemara that tells us we have to drink wine, not because we like it, not because we want to, because we're told to. That's the only thing. That's the only reason we serve Hashem. We do not serve Hashem with logic, because the Torah is logical. Means logic. Why was it that the Levites, all of Klal Yisrael went crazy on this golden calf? Levites said, no way. Well, the Ramban explains why they didn't fall into the mistake of the golden calf. Two things. Because they put their logic aside and they clung to Moshe Rabbeinu. They had their faith. They were close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Said, we don't care. Oh, but the HR said, shout the light show. Moshe Rabbeinu's not there. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell us. If Moshe Rabbeinu had left this world, he would have given us a tzva'ah. He would have given us a last will and testament. You didn't hear nothing. Until we hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing. Sometimes people say, well, Rabbi Nachman says this, Rabbi Nachman says that. You know what Rabbi Nachman says. Even read inside, no. I have Rav Shalom that I believe in my Rav. That's Emunas Chacham. Rav Shalom says, this is what Pshat is. And this is what we teach. We don't teach out of our own brains. We teach of what we have, a Kabbalah. What does the word Kabbalah mean? Kabbalah literally means reception. If you look at a hotel, the reception desk, it says Kabbalah. Okay, so what's Kabbalah? It's not mysticism. It's reception. It's student from teacher, student from teacher, student from teacher. By way of Rav Shalom, we get right back to Rabbi Nachman. Because Rav Shalom, he was a Shamesh. He did personal understudy by Reb Levi Yitzchak. Okay, and it takes us right back to Rabbi Nachman, to Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Nachman. We get to Rabbi Nachman, we get to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but we only have that if we cling to our teachers. We cling to our teachers. And by clinging to our teachers, we cling to holiness. And by clinging to holiness, we do the right thing. That's what Purim is all about. Because the whole problem in the beginning that we had to correct was when the Jewish people did not listen to Mordechai. Mordechai said, don't go to the palace feast. And they said, what do you mean? It's wrong. What about good relations with the king? What about it's all glatt kosher? It's all Eid HaRedis? It's all wine? Yeah. But they didn't realize, they didn't realize that there would be Persian belly dancers serving them. That the whole thing, the Midrash tells us, was Haman sat down with Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus was a bigger Jew hater than Haman was. That's one of the bigger miracles. They said, how can he kill these people? How can he kill these people? He said, it's easy. It's easy. Look in their Torah. Look in their Torah. You can't beat them in a war. You can't beat them in a war. And he said, look, they had a whole president. You know how you annihilate a president? Give him a good-looking shiksa. Okay? Then, this is the same way. Mordechai saw right through it. The Chacham Ador, he sees right through it. Baruch Hashem, that we have to follow our Chachamim. And Baruch Hashem, we can say today that we see with Am Yisrael, people say, you know, what this? Maybe going to the army is good, maybe here, maybe there. Nobody, we didn't even talk about it. Gedolei Yisrael sat together this week, Hasidim, and Litaim, and Sfaradim. And there's one voice, Baruch Hashem, one voice coming out of the Torah world. Don't need brains at all. But this is the important, this is the important. And the Ness of Purim was done by listening to the Tzaddik. Knoset Kol HaYehudim. Bring all the Jews together. Make tshuva. Fast for 3 days. That's what saved us. Saved us. What almost cost us our lives, Chas V'Shalom, was by not listening to the Chacham. And what saved us was by listening to the Chacham. Logic had nothing to do with it. Logic and Judaism is a downfall. Logic made the golden calf. Logic paid. Every klala, every curse, logic was the sin of the spies, was also their logic. That's not their logic, and it was all good. So we do not because of logic. And we drink wine on Purim not because of logic, because we're told to. But anything we do, we have to do with two things that two are the same, joy and holiness. Joy and holiness, they go hand to hand. And that's what we learn from Rabbeinu, and that's a message that all the time we learn from our beloved rabbi teacher, Rav Shalom. And this is just a word to keep in mind. It'll be mechazek us, and we remember joy and holiness and listening to my teacher. You never fall. You never fall. And you're the Yates of talking to it. Is this joy? Is this real holiness? Is this what my teacher wants from me? If I could ask myself these three questions, never fall down. That's what Rabbeinu talks about. Yeshuva da, self-composure. To ask ourselves these three questions. Baruch Hashem, that my beloved brother, Yerosh Koilel, Rabbi Dror Shlita, have a wonderful Purim and Archav and everybody in the English Koil of Baruch Hashem, you have to know that you're light to the whole world. It's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, what you're doing here and the way you're growing exponentially, and not only that, the effect that you have people all over the world. And I see this and go around the world and say, oh, people, they did, I did this one learning here and this one, and the guy from our town, and he's now here in the Koil, and what you're doing is fantastic. And you keep it up, and Hashem should bless Rabbi Dror and the Koilo with every single blessing and material and spiritual abundance and success, and should grow so big that pretty soon the English Koilo has to take the hotel across the street.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming.